feels bad and tries to make up for it. Now, you know, sometimes we sit with a group of people and we start backbiting. Now we backbite and we know we shouldn't backbite, and then we feel so bad about it. And then what do we say? Oh, now I should go back and apologize to that person. Or we insult somebody. We know we shouldn't be insulting them, and then later on we want to go back and we want to apologize to that person. The reality is, once the bull is out of the rock, it's impossible for the bull to go back in. So actually, the benefit, yes, we should apologize if we make that mistake, but the smart Muslim is the one who is very careful about the way they use their tongue. The Prophet ﷺ gave a very simple principle about the tongue. If you recognize this principle, it will save you from a very, very dangerous potential punishment. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, what about the tongue? جِسْمُهُ صَغِيرٌ وَإِثْمُهُ كَبِيرٌ. Its body is so small. Look, the tongue is the smallest organ. The liver is so much bigger, the heart is so much bigger, the hands are so much bigger, the brain is so much bigger. It's such a small organ, but its crime is so enormous. Ajib, it slips all the time. It's actually the one organ that's always wet. It's always slipping. It's always saying something it shouldn't say. So, in this particular case, we're being warned about how we use our tongue. And the Prophet ﷺ again gave a general principle. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ. Either you say good or don't even speak at all. If you don't have something good to say, don't even speak at all. Be very careful about what you say before you say it, and think, is this good or not good? If it's good, say it. If it's not good, forget about it. So here we're being warned about the use of the tongue. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and he saw that there was a nation with bellies, their stomachs were as big as rooms. Now they had a normal head, they had normal legs, but their stomachs were very big, like a full room. And so, and every time they stood up, they would fall over. Now that makes sense because they were completely off balance. So the Prophet ﷺ asked who they were, and it was told that these were the people that consumed interest. They took riba. And when they did so, they made themselves very, very vast, but it was out of balance with what they actually owned, their possessions, how much they could afford. And so they ended up creating themselves in a very imbalanced state. Then they saw a group of women who were hanging from their chests. The Prophet ﷺ asked, who are these? The angel Jibreel explained that these were people who committed adultery. Then finally they saw a group of people who were carving their flesh and eating it. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, who were these? And the Prophet ﷺ said that these were the people who backbite. I'm sorry, the angel Jibreel ﷺ said that these were the people who backbite, and these were the people that criticize other people. Anyway, this was the barzakh that they passed through. Eventually, once they passed through the barzakh, Then they arrived in Jerusalem at Bayt al-Maqdis. Now, when they arrived at Jerusalem at Bayt al-Maqdis, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got off the buraq, took a rope that was tied around the buraq, and tied the buraq to a very special ring present at the masjid, which was the ring where the prophets used to tie their animal. Now, from this point, the ulama explained that look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how he's, what kind of lesson he's teaching us. The buraq was sent by Allah. It was brought by the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. It was not going to run away, nor was anybody going to steal it. This was a different kind of journey, alright? So, why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tying the buraq at that point? To teach us that tawakkul lies in our doing as much as we can, and then turning the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we lock the door at night at home, and then we make dua that Allah protect us. It doesn't mean that you tear down the door and then say, Allah protect me, nobody come in my house. You do what you can, and then Allah will protect you beyond that. So in the same way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tied his animal to teach the ummah the importance of having, of fulfilling your responsibility before being dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's a narration from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that then continues this story and explains what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then entered the masjid, which is Masjid al-Aqsa. Now as he entered the masjid, he found so many people praying. Some were in qiyam, some were in ruku', some were in sujood. All of these individuals finished their prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recognized that all of these were the previous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was gathered in this masjid. Then all of a sudden the adhan was called. And after the adhan was called, everybody lined up. And the imam's space was left empty. Then everybody began looking, you know, like if they don't know who the imam is going to be when you come to pray Isha, let's say the imam doesn't show up, then everybody starts looking at each other, who's going to be the imam. So in the same way, everybody started looking who's going to be the imam. So the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, he took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his hand, and he put the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the place of the imam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led all of the anbiya in prayer. So subhanAllah, look at the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now after they finished the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he exited the masjid, and when he exited the masjid, he was offered two bowls. In one bowl there was wine, and in the other bowl, obviously this is halal wine, and in the other bowl there was milk, right? So there was some kind of halal drink, and then there was milk. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose milk. Now when he chose milk, the angel Jibra'il alayhi wa sallam said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have chosen fitra. You have chosen natural disposition. And this was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a man of natural disposition. Very natural human being. Anyway, that was the end of the Isra. Now remember I told you, what does Asra mean? Asra means to make something travel from one point to another point in the middle of the night. So subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. So there goes the explication of this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that glory be to him who caused his servant to travel from Mecca to Jerusalem in the middle of the night. So that's the end of the Isra. Now after the Isra occurred, the next journey, or the next half of the journey, the second leg, was the Mi'raj. Now Araja in the Arabic language means to make something go up. So the Mi'raj means the place of ascension, the rising of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if you go through hadith, there were two ways by which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this ascension. Number one was that he rode on the Buraq. Now it comes in hadith, and subhanAllah, this is also a very interesting point from science. It comes from in hadith that the Buraq would make these leaps that would span the horizon. So it was like, and it would fly across the horizon, and across the horizon, across the horizon, as far as the eye could see. Now, let's go back in the Arabic language. What is baraka? Baraka in the Arabic language means what? Lightning. Now, lightning is what? Lightning is light. Now, you see how fast light, what is the fastest that anything can travel according to science in this day and age? The speed of light. When we say, what's the distance from the earth to the moon? We say it's this many light years, right? Meaning, this is the amount of time it takes light to go from one point to the other point, because that is the fastest measure that we have. So subhanAllah, the Buraq, which comes from Barak, was traveling at the speed of light. So you can see already what type of powerful animal this is, and it's already understood in the name of the animal that it had the ability to travel at the speed of light. The other way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the ascension is that at certain points in the journey, according to other hadith, a ladder was dropped down, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would climb that ladder to go to the next level. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually traveled to several levels as he made the ascension. So these are actually narrated in hadith, and I want to briefly summarize them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam now continues narrating the journey in his own words. فَأَرَجَ بِي إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. So I was then, after being taken to Jerusalem, brought up the skies of the earth. فَلَمَّا جِئْتُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. So when we came to the barrier of the earth and the heavens, قَالَ Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, لِخَازِنِ السَّمَاءِ, to the guard of the sky, which was an angel, افتح, open the door, meaning open the door to the next level. So the angel, he's the guard, the angel who was guarding the sky, said, مَنْ هَذَا, who are you? So the angel Jibreel alayhi salam said, هَذَا Jibreel, I am the angel Jibreel. So قَالْ هَلْ مَعَكَ أَحَدٌ, is there anybody with you? قَالْ نَعْمْ مَعِي مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So he said, yes, with me is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the angel then asks, the guard, he asks, أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِ, has he been sent to already? Has he already received his message? قَالَ نَعْمْ. So the angel Jibreel alayhi salam says, yes. So a couple important points. Number one, very interesting. We learned this as kids, but still some people don't understand. Look at the way that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam introduces himself. Now of course, the angel knows, right, that it's going to be the angel Jibreel knocking at the door, alright? It's not going to be me or you. We wouldn't knock at the door of the sky. It's obviously the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. He knows that the only one who comes up and down is going to be the angel Jibra'il. Especially when he's coming with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But look, when he's asked the question, who is it? He doesn't say, it's me. Right? Sometimes people knock on the door, I say, who is it? Me. Who's me? Right? Or somebody calls you, they say, assalamu alaikum, they just start talking, I'm supposed to assume that I know who the person is. Actually, it's adab, it's part of adab, that when you knock at somebody's door, or when you call somebody on the phone, you say, assalamu alaikum, this is Hussein. Okay? Assalamu alaikum, this is Bakr. So in the same way, when Jibra'il alayhi salam is asked who it is, he doesn't say, it's me, like, okay, figure it out, it's me, the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam. He says, no, Hada Jibreel. He's introducing himself in the proper way with the proper adab. In fact, this goes back to another hadith, on which occasion, one time one of the Sahaba knocked at the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who is this? So the Sahabi said, Ana. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very angry and he said, Ana? Ana? As if he was upset with the fact that that Sahabi didn't give his name, but actually just said, it's me. Alright, because when you say it's me, it's a type of pride. Like, of course you should know who it's, you know, it's me. It's, you should know me. But actually, the adab is to say, it's humility to say that I am Bakr or I am Zayd, etc. And that's exactly what the angel Jibra'il alayhi salam did. The second point we learned from this hadith is that all of creation knew that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming. So even this angel who's guarding the skies, he says, oh, has he been sent to? Meaning it was understood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to be coming. Now, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the ascension, to the first sky, he then explains in his own words what happened. فَلَمَّا فَتَحَ. And so when the sky was opened, أَلَوْنَا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا, we rose up the sky of the dunya. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ قَائِدٌ. And all of a sudden, there was a man sitting. عَلَى يَمِينِهِ أَسْوِدَةٌ. On his right hand side was a large group of people. وَعَلَى يَسَارِهِ أَسْوِدَةٌ. And on his left hand side was another group of people. Okay. So what happened? The Prophet ﷺ, he rose up to the first level of heaven.